be worshipped. I want to be loved.
I've told you a million times not to talk to me when I'm doing my lashes.
Oh, it's you. I didn't know you with all your clothes on.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view.
What am I going to tell you? You look like a woman.
Well, girls, looks like it's back to the perfume counter for me. And by the way, there's a name for you ladies, but it isn't used in high society, outside of a kennel.
Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of the Gold One Girls. I am your co-host, Meredith, and I am joined by Amelia. And today we actually have another very special guest. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and flip it around to Amelia to go ahead and do an intro to our guest.
Oh, Lord. Hello, everyone. I'm glad, Meredith, you said co-host this time.
Yes.
Never forget that I'm here and my contributions to the podcast. So, yes, we have another special guest. We're doing a couple episodes where we're interviewing people that we love on film Twitter or in the TCM community. So we have a very special guest who is like the super fan of the Gold One Girls podcast, Diana Bosch. Am I saying your name right? I'm going to mispronounce it.
You are. It's great.
Oh, my God. Diana Bosch. Okay. Cantonese?
Oh, Catanese. You don't have to say
it. Damn it.
Husband's name.
Okay. We're just going to call you D. Bosch. Okay. Yes. We have Diana Bosch. She is here. She's, like I said, the super fan of this podcast. She tells us that every week. She won't stop writing us, folks. We just decided to have her on because we don't know what else to do, but she is, if you know her on Twitter, she is at the Dame Upstairs. Hello, Diana. We love having you here.
Hello, Diana.
I mean, you basically just were like, oh, fine, just put her on. It's okay. You guys just make me laugh. I feel like there's not a lot of film podcasts that just really make me laugh, like a guffaw like Sydney Greenstreet at the end of Christmas in Connecticut. So I love tuning in. How did you pick the Goldwyn girls? I know it's like Samuel Goldwyn, but I think of the guy from Scandal now, who's also that jerk and ghost. So
well, what's his name? Tony Goldwyn? Not what we
Tony Goldwyn.
When we first made it, I guess we, you know, there's these dancers that were part of Samuel Goldwyn's troupe called the Goldwyn Girls in the Precoats. So I decided that that was a good name because I love those women and I love to support women.
And also, you had brought up the thing that I think sold me on it was that it rhymes with the Golden Girls. And you brought that up too. And I was like, that's it. That's the name. So yeah.
That's funny because I picked up on that and I'm like, oh, that's so smart.
Yes. I know we're masterminds. It's so hard being us and having such large brains. So how did we meet? I know it's different probably between Diana and I and Diana and Meredith, but how did we all, I think it was Twitter first and then you came up to us at TCM Film Festival once.
Yeah. I feel like I had followed you both on Twitter. Thought you guys were both fun, and I met you at the festival. It was probably very brief, but then I think I just assumed you remembered and just kept talking to you guys on Twitter, and I think that's kind of how it goes for a lot of people, you know? Like, some people, it just either, like, catches on or it doesn't. So, yeah. And I loved Meredith's blog. It was Vitaphone.
Thank you. Yeah, Vitaphone Dreamer. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I really enjoyed your blog, and I had reached out a couple times telling you, like, just some at replies, and I think that's what's, for me, at least, with you ladies, is I feel like it's always been a very, like, organic thing. Like, I just was like, you know, I'll be friendly, they're friendly, and that's just how it goes.
Yeah, I remember when I met you at TCM Film Festival, you like ran up to me and you're like, you're so sweet. Like, I follow you on Twitter. Like, like, I want to be your friend. And you're like, gotta go. Like, you, and then you ran off, and you ran off into the sunset, and I didn't see you again at TCM Film Festival, but it made an impact.
I feel like it's embarrassing, but like, that's just something that I do. I just, like, I don't know. I just really respond to people that I'm like, oh, they just seem nice. I'm excited. And I hope that translates online too. Like, I'm just there to like have fun, talk about William Holden.
Yes.
It does. I think like you're like the nicest person I know on Twitter, to be honest.
No, thank you. Like, I appreciate that. You know, I just think for me, like, being a film lover is that, and like sharing that. I don't like the term film snob. Really rubs me the wrong way. I'm not trying to, like, you know, I don't think, you know, there's Wikipedia or there's like tons of books, like, that's what that's for. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm just trying to, like, you know, share this and like really just, because, you know, some, it's fun to talk about classic movies and these stars, you know, like, they've done some weird things. you know, and like, they're people, and it's just, it's fascinating, and it's, sometimes it can be heartbreaking, but sometimes it's really funny. Like, what's that crazy story? I think it's like Carol Lombard and like Frederick March would like tease her on the set, and like, didn't she, this is kind of crass, but like, didn't she like have like a fake men's?
Yes, I've heard that story. Yes.
Yeah, there's like that, and that's hilarious. Like, I don't know. There's just like so many crazy stories, or that, like, you know, it's part scary, but like Ray Milan was trying to be a parachuter when he made I Wanted Wings, and that's what part of the movie was on. And he was like, oh, I'm just going to try and jump with this. And the, and it was like a prop from the set that didn't really work. And the prop man was like, you cannot do that. You would die. You know, and like, that's also terrifying, but kind of hilarious. And like, I don't know. There's just, especially too, like when you talk about some movie performances and stuff, like, I think it's just, you know, fun to just talk about it, like, as in a fan. You don't have to, we don't have to be like super critical and like be mad that someone read a movie a different way than you did. Like, you know, if someone thinks, I don't know, Humphrey Bogart in a movie where he's a jerk is romantic, like, well, that's your prerogative, I guess. But like, okay, like, I think that's abusive, but like, I'm not gonna go down your throat and tell you why you're wrong. Like, I don't know you. You could also be saying it's a joke. Just, people need to relax. 2020 is already bad enough.
Amen.
Exactly. So we wanted to ask you a round of Goldwyn Girls questions now that you're being christened on the podcast. And we wanted to know which Marx brother you think is the hottest. It's very important.
Harpo. He's got curly hair and he doesn't talk. Well, what could you want in a man?
I would marry him so hard. Sorry, I did not mean to jump in on that.
It's okay. I didn't mean to, you know, ruffle your feathers.
Oh my God. No,
I'm the only one that likes Zeppo, I swear to God.
See, here's the thing. I think
a little hipster, of course.
I feel like Zeppo is like objectively the hottest one, but I still always fight for Chico. Chico, like, I don't know. It's hard to describe, but it's just something there.
Calm down, please. I can feel you heating up over the Skype.
I know. I mean, honestly, it's palpable. Oh my gosh. All right, so next question. Which classic film stars would be, in your opinion, the human embodiment of COVID?
Does it have to be a star, or could it be just like a classic film person?
Yeah.
Anybody. Classic film related, classic film, anything.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
Yeah. What a jerk. He ruined everyone and everything. So I think that works.
Okay, but who's the vaccine? I think it's Irving Thalberg.
Who's the vaccine? No. What are we trying to think about a vaccine? Like, I would see like a Humphrey Bogart, because Humphrey Bogart, I feel like, was such a good dude. Like, he always just like stood up for people.
Like, so true.
you know, or Audrey Hepburn. That's yeah. the next scene. She like literally like.
Actually, you're so right.
Like that's got to be it.
Okay, I have another very important question, which is, what would Robert Mitchum's AIM screen name be? I really want to know.
So that was like the one question I was like, that is so hard. Like, it's kind of lame, but I would say Calypso Bob because he has that Calypso record that nobody really talks about. But then when people bring it up, they're like, did you know this? Like all this stuff.
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's amazing. You have to, the cover of it is like the best Ooh, thing. So okay. I'm going to go with Calypso Bob.
I'm looking that up.
I'm going to go with BDE and that's it. That's the name.
Betty Davis Energy.
No. Yeah, sure. That's, you know, that's what it means. I never had AIM, so I would never be able to. He actually died like before he was able to use AIM.
Robert Bitchum would have been, I don't
Robert
know.
Bitchum.
I think I've used that as a username online before and I was like, it's perfect. But I wish he could have been around to use AIM or like Yahoo Messenger or something.
I know. Like, do you ever think of like, oh, I wish these certain stars had Twitter?
Yes.
Well, what would they talk about? Like Elizabeth Taylor. Oh, like she, like her estate has a Twitter, but like yeah. she never really wrote anything on there because she was still like a lot. Like, I think she died in 2008, maybe, or like,
yeah, I think so.
Like she had a Twitter because I remember. I remember when Michael Jackson died and her Twitter account like said something, but I was like, she didn't write that. But she died in like 2011, actually. I looked it up. But
why doesn't Margaret O'Brien have a Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh my God. She should.
That'd be like amazing. She could just talk about all her travels on the twit.
Exactly. Like TikTok or something.
She's so like, I want to be like an ounce of her cool at some point in my life.
Right.
So I'm going to skip one of the questions, but I just wanted to say that Google has really great automated classic film shirts. Like the one that said, like, I am property of Elijah Cook Jr. I was like, I fucking kind of almost want to buy that shirt.
Oh, it's so funny.
But which old Hollywood star would you want to marry? This is an important question.
Oh, God. That's really hard. Man.
Okay, name. Would it make it easier if I said, like, four? Name four?
Yeah, let's. This
okay.
Because there's so many.
So, we'll do four. Meredith, you want to start?
Okay. Oh my gosh. Let me see. I'm off the top of my head. Actually, I'm going to give another shout out to Harpo Marx because genuinely he's at the top of my list because he seemed like a genuinely great person. And he just has been material. So Harpo, Gregory Peck comes to mind for some reason. I don't know why, but there's just something about Greg Peck that I feel like would have been great. Who else?
I know this is a tough one.
Yeah. I don't know if Dana Andrews was like, I'm going to say Dana Andrews, but I don't know much about him, like in his real life, but he seemed good and great and all that stuff. And there's something about him. And then this is like, this is a very important question. I'm taking this like too
seriously.
I'm gonna
write in. I figured Dennis.
Okay. Morgan. Dennis Morgan.
Did
yes.
he become like rich or something? Like,
we, did like, he buy property or something? I feel like a lot of them got really rich by doing like property and
yeah. Or Joel McRae. He was another one. Joel. Like those are just like, you know, I feel like, well, Joel McRae was a big star. Dennis Morgan was never like a huge star, but like I feel like not having such huge success makes you more of a nicer person.
Yeah.
Like you don't have these terrible demands of the public, you know, which is an sure. awful thing we sure. put on these people. But like those two seem like good dudes. And I think they both like were married to their wives for a long time.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love Dennis Morgan. This is like
that single curl.
I know. This is
square dance. Oh my God.
This is Dennis Morgan season.
Dennis Morgan Stan podcast.
Oh yes. My gosh. Yes.
I think I would have to vote for Wallace Beery, Al Jolson, Frank Fay, and who else? Those were all the best men to be married to.
Al Jolson. Oh my gosh. I'm glad that Ruby Keeler got out of that and then actually had a happy marriage after him. Oh, that's such a weird match. Like, I don't know. I think he was terrible to her, and then she lived a happy life after.
I get it. You just have a lot of defense for Ruby. Ruby, like, I feel bad. She gets like the short end of the stick. Everyone makes fun of her dancing and stuff, but she's so cute and nice. She's not there. She's not harming anyone. She's trying to live her life. I'm also like realistic. Like, let's be honest. If we were plopped into 1933 and had to dance in Footlight Parade, we're not gonna be, we would look like Ruby Keeler. We're never gonna look like Ginger Rogers.
Yes, exactly.
So like, I empathize. I'm like, all the people that think they would, like, relax.
Yep.
Be realistic.
She was only like 24 when she was in 42nd Street.
That's something that's so wild to be like watching like a movie and I'm like, Audrey Hepburn is like younger than me in this, like, what?
Yeah.
Like, anytime Elizabeth Taylor is on screen, I'm like, wow.
She looked like 21 by the time she was like 15 or 16. And it's like, what? Yeah.
Same thing with Lana Turner, too. I was watching Love Finds Andy Hardy, and I'm like, what teen looks like that?
Yes.
I was going to do a surprise reading. Real quick, this could be off the record. I also have potato in my mouth, but I wrote an article about Mickey Rooney's potato fantasy, the restaurant that he had, that was real. I just want to emphasize that. And so I was going to read it to you both because I think you would find it really great. You would appreciate it. Okay, so I have it up. Are you guys ready?
My body has never been more ready.
Okay.
That's such a weird thing to say. Okay. So go ahead.
Potato fantasies just break out.
Yes. I know. So the article title is Potato Fantasy Turned into MASH Nightmare. And so the article is, we all know that Mickey had many restaurant endeavors that didn't exactly work out. But he found success in a family restaurant called Potato Fantasy, which served potatoes in every shape or form that was humanly possible. Why was this restaurant so successful? Because he used child labor. Due to his boyish charms, many of the showbiz acquaintances asked him to babysit their children while they endured long days on sets. Little did they know that their children were immediately taken to his potato restaurant to work 12-hour shifts. They were only allowed one glass of milk per shift. The kids were left alone all day while Mickey bet on cockfights on Bunker Hill. He didn't have to pay them because kids don't know what lawyers are. According to one of the survivors, if anyone didn't do what Mickey said, he would make them reenact the Yellow Brick Road scene from The Wizard of Oz because he felt he was robbed of the role of the flying monkey. They went on to add, when they tried to confront Rooney as an adult, he took a napkin and signed it Love Andy Hardy and walked off into the sunset. He never paid for all the electroshock therapy she had to endure because of her close proximity to him. Update. Mickey died. For real, Potato Fantasy is closed. Stop writing us. He is currently resting in Hollywood Forever Cemetery in a vat of potatoes. Sources say a woman in a brown sack has been seen visiting his grave and leaving yams by his tomb. We've confirmed that this is not Jenny Rooney, so for the love of God, stop writing us. We don't know who this mysterious potato woman is, but we thank her for her service. Potato Fantasy family restaurant will forever live in our hearts. R.I.P. Potato King. Yeah, I wrote that at 4 a.m.
I like how it says that real. I like how they like the clarification that it was in fact not Jan Rooney. Oh my God.
Yeah, there's some little classic Hollywood reference nuggets I put in there, like, you know, because that woman in black visiting Valentino's grave, instead it's a woman in a potato sack leaving yams at his grave. he always brings up like Judy Garland and the Wizard of Oz and whatever. And so I was like, yeah, he wanted the role of the flying monkey, but he didn't get it. So he makes the kids reenact the Yellow Brick Road scene, which doesn't even have the monkeys in it.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, that's what I do at 4 in the morning. So going back to the questions. I totally upset everything with that note. I know, Meredith, it's upsetting.
I'm like, I'm shaking right now. Like, you don't even know.
The classic film Twitter is,
I think. I don't know.
I know. The classic film Twitter, like, once the classic film Twitter knows about this article, they're going to be quaking. They're not ready. Diana, we kind of wanted to talk to you about your life with movies.
Okay.
So we want to know how you became passionate about classic film.
So I feel like my trajectory is a little bit different than other people. I didn't really have, like, the, you know, uncle who watched classic movies with me, like a lot of people have. It was just something I kind of stumbled into. I really liked I Love Lucy, and because who doesn't, first of all? But I remember just like watching like the John Wayne episode, or, you know, all the Hollywood episodes where they had the guest stars. And I stumbled upon, like, it was a John Wayne Western, The Angel and the Bad Man, which I really like. You know, I didn't really know what was going on, but like John Wayne and Gail Russell, they're just so pretty. Like, it was black and white and it just looked so great. And I just remember watching that, and I just would watch AMC, which you guys are a bit younger than me, but there was a time when AMC aired classic movies and I would just always watch it. And the one that really hooked me was Laura. I love that movie so much. It kind of just goes back to like what you, like, I think a lot of the, you know, love of classic Hollywood is just how beautiful it all looks. Like, it's such a, you know, specific look and time. And I just love Gene Tierney in that movie and Dana Andrews. I think they're so perfect in that movie. Everyone is perfect in that movie. I just love it so much. And I would watch that movie all the time. Like, I recorded it, I would rewatch it again. Oh, I loved it. They, at the time, they were doing this, like, they used to do this thing called film preservation festivals where it was basically like a telethon. You'd call in and like donate. And the theme that I watched it was film noir. So it's kind of funny how much more popular film noir is now. But I remember back then it wasn't. And Carly Simon had like a CD. It was called Film Noir. And she like covered all these standards. And back in the day when you'd go buy CDs, I lived in Orlando. That's where I grew up. And they had, Downtown Disney, they had this huge Virgin Megastore where it had all these like CDs and movies and DVDs and film books. And I remember going there and I had to buy Carly Simon Film Noir. And I'm like 12, begging my mom to give this to me. And just like, yeah, sure, here, go away from me, you weirdo. And so that's why that movie is like so special to me. It's really funny. Like, when I got married, my sister, like, in her toast to me, like, name dropped Laura, and I was like so embarrassed. Aww. Because it really is my favorite movie. So it's just kind of funny. So that was like a thing. So I became like so obsessed with Dana Andrews. And because AMC had all the 20th Century Fox movies, like, my big like movie obsession is Fox movies. Like, I love Betty Grable and Carmen Miranda and Gene Tierney. Like, I love them so much. Like, those are like my, like, if I'm having a bad day, I watch a Betty Grable movie. I just love her. And it's a bummer that we don't get to show her movies very often because the Fox rights are pretty tricky. But like, that's like my one, like, if people, like, you know how people have their own thing, like, that's like, you know, that's like my equivalent of like pre-codes, like, ask me about Fox musicals and stuff. And I think it's because they're like not so like, you know, MGM, they were so polished and lavish, and like Fox musicals just looked a little bit more organic. Maybe they were more low budget, I don't know. But I just love them. They're so like so pretty. The colors are just gorgeous. And so, yeah, so classic movies was just always like, it was just always my like safe place. I would watch like classic movies all the time. I remember when Alice Faye died, it was like in the late 90s. And that was like my first like celebrity. Like I was so upset that she had died because I just assumed we would meet and talk about classic movies.
Aww.
Like, you know, when you're just like younger and you just think like these people are still around and like, back in the day they would have like People magazine. They would always like put, you know, they'd have those tribute issues. Like I have one for Sinatra and like Audrey Hepburn and all this stuff. So it was really crazy. But yeah, it's just always like a safe place for me. But definitely like when you get onto something, you become obsessed. So I'd have like these classic movie like scrapbooks. Pretty sure I like ruined our printer by printing out like all these things like classic movie like photos and stuff. I remember going to like antique stores when they were more around and always getting like Life magazines and like all this stuff. And I remember at one point I thought I was Audrey Hepburn reincarnated. I love her.
That's a goal. That's, I feel that.
Just, you just had imagination. You're like, I just like, yeah, I'm her long lost daughter with William Holden. You know, you just like, yeah, I'm just going real deep, but yeah, it was fun. But it was something that like, it wasn't necessarily like a career, just like a, you know, just something that I really loved and I still do. It's so interesting, like now seeing that play out on social media, I feel like a lot of people can get more connected. But like when I was younger, it was just like me. And I was like that weird person at school that would wear like, like I would get like books for Christmas and I'd like take them to school for some reason. So it was like study time. People would read like, you know, The Boxcar Children. And I've got like Audrey Hepburn, this like biography that I can't even read the words to. It's like all these pretty pictures. So it's just, yeah, it's been just a huge part of my life. I just love them so much.
Do you have any other, you mentioned Carmen Miranda and like Alice Faye. Do you have any other stars that you have always been like super into, or somebody that's just, you can, you know, you just sit down and you can watch any of their movies and just be entertained all the time?
Yeah, totally. So I really, with William Holden, I think he's so handsome. Yeah. You know, I just think, and he like embodies that like 1950s, like Don Draper-esque look of like, that you think of when you think of the 50s. It's tough that his story is so sad and like, you know, just what a sad ending that he just like died alone and bled to death. But I just think that like, when talking about him, I think it's really important to remember that alcoholism is a disease and it's something that our society doesn't talk about. And I think that like what's fascinating is he was able to live such a you know, productive life and battling that. And you know, it's a shame that we don't talk about it like we do now. Maybe that could have like helped him, but it's just a really hard thing. And I think, you know, he's someone that I wish people talked about a little bit more critically, because just to like appreciate his work more, because he was doing things that I think, you know, he was very sensitive, but also looking very masculine. But his, for me, his characters and his filmography just have an interesting dichotomy, because he could be like a sex symbol, but he can also show vulnerability. And, you know, he was able, and then like later in his career where like, you know, in Network, he's like early 60s and he looks like he's 80 something, because the alcoholism really took its toll on him physically. But he was able to use those wrinkles and create some really, really interesting performances, where I think other actors, when they reach a certain age, they're like, I don't want to show them what I really look like, you know. And William Holden in Network, he could get it. he's still good looking. But you know what I mean? So I find that so interesting. And over time, I've just appreciated him so much more. And I just really like talking about him in that way. Other people, I love Barbara Stanwyck. I just think she's such a chameleon. And every time I watch her, like, it's so cool that she's so glamorous in some movies and then not in others. And then, like, really funny. And then, like, she'll blow your head off. I just think she's so cool. I have so many, but they're, like, off. They're, like, running away from me. Especially the way she dances. I don't think she gets the credit of being a dancer, but she's so gorgeous. And just, like, watching someone like that, I can't even believe someone like ever that ever existed. Like, how, like, some of these stars, they're so pretty. Like, it was like they were made in a Pretty People lab. Like, you're just like, how did you exist? I really like Fran Chotone. Nobody really likes him.
Yes, I feel that.
Cool. this year I got really into Glenn Ford.
I saw that.
That's cool.
I've watched so many Glenn Ford movies. I don't really, it's weird. I don't know why. I just, like, he kind of, you know, he was William Holden's, like, best friend or, like, one of his closest friends. And they have an interesting trajectory that's very similar because they were young in at Columbia when they were starting out and their films weren't really going anywhere. They looked really boyish. They went to the war and then they came back and they had much more masculine features and, like, looked hardened, and they became put in these, like, tough guy roles. And then so it's been interesting to watch that in relation to William Holden, because I know so much about him. So seeing that has been fun to play out. But yeah, I like him. I think he's really interesting. Another one, don't look at his biography, I just find, like, he's got some really great performances, and I like when actors are, like, they surprise you. Like, I love Dear Heart. That was such a great movie that I watched for the first time, I think, earlier this year, and 3:10 to Yuma, and they're such different performances, but, like, those films felt like I could live in them, you know, where something, it's kind of like Marty or those type of movies where they just feel like they're, you know, it's not like an MGM musical where that would never happen. I was like, oh, like I know someone in that movie. So I thought that was pretty cool. Rita Moreno is someone I love so much, especially because unfortunately she didn't get so many rich films in her younger years because of Hollywood, but, like, seeing the way she's been able to have such longevity and, like, do so many interesting performances in her twilight years is so cool. Like, you know, she just never gave up, and I just think that's really, really cool and something to aspire to.
Like, listen to you talk about William Holden forever.
I think a lot of people did and then stopped following me on Twitter. We're like, actually, I could stop listening to
it. Yeah, no.
Forever is a long time.
It's cool. Like, I feel like the more passionate people are about a subject or a person, like, I always think that's the best content to follow. And I don't know. I know not all people are like that, but I swear, like, the more passionate you are, I'm just like, yes, I love this. Like, keep talking. I will listen forever. I feel that. So yeah, you've definitely, you know, keep doing your thing. Don't.
Thanks. And I really liked when you would talk about, like, I know that Meet Me in St. Louis is a very personal movie for you because you've spoken a lot about it. And I love that. I really loved recently your Twitter thread about your favorite Christmas movies. I love, like, being snowed in and watching, like, you know, quote snowed in, but I love having an excuse to just, like, cuddle up and watch Christmas movies. And that was really fun to follow.
Yeah, I don't know. Meet Me in St. Louis is interesting because it's just one of those movies that I watched as a kid all the time. And it was just one of those movies that I think it was my grandma who probably introduced it to me, because she would have me watch all of the old musicals, everything from that to, like, I mean, Fiddler on the Roof, and then Sound of Music, everything Judy Garland too. I mean, going back to Meet Me in St. Louis, and I've just been a stan ever since I was, like, 5 or 6 years old. But I've written about it and everything, but I'm just like, that movie makes me so happy. There is just an energy to it. And I find that, like, the more I watch it as I get older, it's funny. I think it's funny as hell, especially Margaret O'Brien in that movie. I'm just like, she is a devil and she is perfect. And anyway, but yeah, no, I really appreciate you saying that too, because it's just, I don't know, there's just something about it.
Yeah, I love how that movie specifically like reaches so many people. I remember TCM had Damien Chazelle, the La La Land director, on once, and that was one of his picks. And I thought that was so cool because, you know, when you think about like big like musicals, I feel like that one comes to mind, but it's a different, it's not like a Singing in the Rain or like the Bandwagon. It's not like huge, but Judy Garland is such an incredible storyteller in her singing, like the Trolley song and then Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, but then like all the other things that she does, like it's, she's so unique and so gifted that you watch other musicals and you're touched in different ways, but like Judy Garland, there's just something about that voice and the way she like told the stories in song that like sometimes I have to prepare myself for the movies of hers that I want to watch because I'm like, I don't want to cry, yes. You know? And I just think that's so cool of how people like run the gamut of how they're impacted by her. It's just really cool. She's so beautiful in that, and Easter Parade too. Like, oh, and oh, I wish people would like kind of recognize the survivor aspect of her career, because like she went through so much but was able to give so much instead of just kind of like her death and stuff and like the studio system. It's like, yeah, she did go through that, but like you know, you can still just be like, how did she do that, you know? Not just constantly like, oh, what a terrible life, but it's like it was, but also like what resilience in so many other ways.
So kind of tracking on to more of a career discussion and everything. So if it's been mentioned that, you know, you run the TCM social media. And so we were wondering, how did you get involved in the entertainment industry?
So my path is really unconventional than a lot of people. But then again, from what I know, because, you know, there's so many people, but I'm one of three that run the TCM account. It's not just me. So it's a very team effort. And it's truly like the dream job. I love it so much. Everyone is so, you know, it is a team of film nerds, and it's so nice. And everyone just has a different energy to contribute. And it's really awesome. And I'm so glad that you guys have felt, you know, you guys are a part of that with going to the festival and on Twitter. Like, that's such an important thing, is like, we cultivate a community for classic film. It's not just a brand, you know. But so for me, I actually started out as a news reporter. I was a TV reporter, and that was, journalism was always my thing, because I love telling stories. But at some point when I was doing the daily grind of journalism, it's very difficult because unfortunately you meet people on the worst day of their lives and you have to like tell their story. And while it's an incredible responsibility that few are given, it can take a toll on you. You know, you're just asking these tough questions, and you know, you go to crime scenes or like house fires and people losing everything, and it's really tough. And it's, for me, like, empathy is like one of my strong suits, and I think to a fault. So when I'd come home, I couldn't, you know, shake those images or stories. And I was just like, you know, I don't think it's for me on this level, but I think digital, there's something there. Like, I could, you know, digital was just starting, like Twitter had just started when I had my first reporting job. And so after a few years, I transitioned to working on digital teams and social media. And I was like, you know what, we can tell so many more stories and reach so many different people, not just in, you know, the community we're living in, but, you know, around the world, like, who knows? And, you know, we've seen that with things like Ice Bucket Challenge or whatever, you know. So that's kind of how it was. So I started doing more digital for television news. And then I started to do a blog on the side because I was like, you know, I'm not being fulfilled. And like, I really love watching movies, and I think it would be fun to like have a blog and like talk about it more and meet people. And so I did that, and led me to the festival. And when I was younger, like, I always loved watching, like when we got TCM, TCM came later than AMC, I really loved watching it. TCM was so, like, I feel like, and it still is, like, we have very, like, lavish productions in between the movies. Like, there was that one, like, swing band. I don't know if you remember that one that would, like, play. And the thing would be, like, roll film or something. There's the animation for Sunny Side of Life. And then, like, all these incredible promos. And I just thought that was so cool. But I didn't think people actually did that for a living. I just thought there was, like, some factory of, like, you know, like, I just didn't have any knowledge of that part of, like, cable television. Like, you know, working for a broadcast affiliate is just much different. But then, like, seeing social media, and I was like, wow, like, they're really, you know, out there, like, connecting people and telling the story of these film stars. That's really cool. And I live in Atlanta, and TCM is here in Atlanta, and they had a job opening, and I was like, I'm gonna try, you know, like, I think this is what I can do. Like, I love this, and, like, I've always have, and, you know, let's do it. And after a few rounds of interviews, it was like a month. It was actually Glenn Ford's Star of the Month, and I couldn't watch any of the movies. And it was a very rigorous interview process, and they saw something in me, and here we are, and it's been a year now. And what's funny about the Glenn Ford thing is that I was so nervous, because I've always, like, wanted to work for TCM in some capacity, but I just never felt like it could happen. And then, like, you know, hey, here we are. Like, you know, I really believe in, like, hard work and, like, really mapping things out. And, you know, if things are meant to be, it happens. And for me, it did. And it's really wild. But when I was interviewing, I watched Parks and Rec because I just needed something that would, like, completely distract me. And so, watching, like, the Glenn Ford movies now, it's kind of funny because I really just watched the lineup that we had because I didn't get to when I was interviewing. So it's kind of like a cute little, symbolic thing. Glenn and I started this journey.
That's really sweet.
But yeah, for me, like, it's just truly an honor to be able to share these classic film stars and the films in general. It's just so important, especially to try new things in a social space. You know, it's like, this job is truly an honor. I'm so proud to work here and so grateful, especially because for me, it helped me in my journey of learning more and discovering more of classic movies, because we're not a network for film snobs. Like, it's for everyone to love these movies. If we were, we wouldn't have intros to, like, provide this information, you know? Like, that's what Robert Osborne stood for, was sharing these films and why they're important. You know, you think about, like, all the archive interviews we have, like, on YouTube, but also, like, that air between the films where we got to talk to Robert Mitchum and Anthony Quinn and all these people that are long gone, but we, like, showed, like, why them, we reminded them why they matter, and, like, the public as well. And I just think that's such an important service.
Yeah, I think social media is, like, I kind of related to what you said earlier about being in school and you're just, like, toting your classic film books around. And I'm like, that's so me. And so social media, especially, like, the TCM Twitter and, like, people who gravitate towards TCM online, it's been really, like, nice to have that community. And I think it's also really important because people who, you know, our teenagers are, like, the age we were when we were into classic films now have, like, an outlet, as opposed to us who didn't really have, like, an outlet as much and didn't have, like, a community. And it's so that, you know, people can learn more about the films that are being shown. So I really love your Twitter. Like, I love when you run the Twitter. I love when you run the Instagram, too.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. It's a lot of long work, and it's really collaborative. No, I really appreciate that. Like, the point is to, like, really just have fun and cultivate community and, you know, connect. And that's when social media works best. Like, you know, when you think of all that's happened this year with the pandemic, like, just seeing social media rally to, you know, help you know, if it's people in need or restaurants or live music venues or just any, you know, Larry Edmonds, we saw so many people rally for them. Like, that's when it works best, when we like come together. And that's what these accounts are for.
I have one question about, so if someone, and I've always thought about this, because I mean, I have a lot of friends who don't really like classic films, and it's just like something that they have accepted that I that I like. And sometimes I do want to show them classic films, but I never know like which one to show them to give them like the best like view of like, you know, that era or the those types of films. Like, what do you think is a good first film to show somebody if you're introducing them to classic films?
So this is so hard. Like, isn't it though? Because like, one, there are some people that are just like, I don't want to sit through a movie. Like, I just especially now with like you know, our phones. Like, I feel like every time I go, like, I'm having to sit down and watch a movie, like, my phone's right there. It's hard. So yeah. I have like a kind of a list I like go to, and I've actually like, I've definitely sent movies to people as gifts. You know, I don't know if they've ever watched them. I'm like, you know, I saw this, I think you like it. A couple go-tos that I like to think about. A Matter of Life and Death, the Powell and Pressburger movie. I
just such a good movie.
So beautiful. Like, it's so cool. Like, just the technology of it, like how they did that. Wow, it's just incredible. And just a love story, a pretty love story. Come on, everyone loves love.
That's such a beautiful movie. I just want to say that really quick. Oh my gosh, it blew me away.
Yeah, it's so good. And just the colors, it's just, I love that movie so much. So that's one. I know this is like really unoriginal, but Casablanca, I just think is such, like, you know, when it comes to like Hollywood studio, like that's the movie for me. But I just think it's such a beautiful reminder of the resilience of the human spirit. Like, the people in that movie, they're just regular people. It's not a Star Wars where they have like magical powers. Like, you know, they're confronted with something so horrific that, you know, actually happened. And like, what happens when, you know, you have to stand up to oppression? And I just think it's, you know, I love Humphrey Bogart's performance so much. When he gives the nod before they sing the French national anthem, I just get goosebumps. It's so incredible. Cause like, up until then, like, he just doesn't care. Like, he's not going to get involved. And then he does. And I just, I just think it's such a beautiful movie. Like the dialogue, the colors, the acting, it's just, I love it so much. Colors of black and white. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's a classic for a reason. And I just think like it hits so differently today that I think you can really find a lot of things to like about it. Let's see. I really like North by Northwest.
Like, oh, hell yeah.
Hitchcock in there. It's either that or like Strangers on a Train. Cause I just think they're so much fun to watch. And like, those are two movies that I feel like, oh my God, I'm like in this movie. Like, it's so specific. And I just really like watching those films. And then, well, that's kind of more romantic. I was going to say Now Voyager.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. So, yes.
It's another beautiful romance. Oh, like, I guess I'm just a softie when it comes to romance, but I love that movie. I just feel like these are movies that like, when I like, I don't like saying old timey, that's a terrible phrase, but it's just like, I think those are like good gateways just to see like what was going on and what people were doing and like, you know, how they talked about like infidelity or how they talked about romance or, you know, how they talked about women. And like Charlotte Vale is a great example of that. And then I love the relationship between her and Claude Rains's character. Like, that could be a romance, but it isn't. And it just kind of shows like growth as a woman as well in her character. And I don't know, I think those are some, take that with what you will.
Yeah, those are really good choices too. I feel like with Hitchcock, I feel like that's so accessible for about anybody.
If I had to show someone a classic film and they've never seen, I have like a few, which are maybe a little bit unconventional. But I would show Shop Around the Corner no matter what time of year, because everyone's had to deal with workplace dynamics. So I think it's so timeless, and it just shows very like a human side of retail and just, you know, what people experience around the holidays, which isn't always a happy experience. And I think I would show Sunrise, A Song of Two Humans.
Oh, love that one.
I saw that film on 35 at the cinema that I used to work at. And it was like the most beautiful experience. I think I almost cried in the theater. I just love Janet Gaynor so much. She's such a good actress in that film. And then I would show, and I've done this, I actually did this for a guy I dated in high school. It's so embarrassing. I wish someone at some point was like, can you just stop talking about this? Or like, can you just like not show us these movies? Like just once. But everyone went along with it. I showed him Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein as the first classic film he's ever seen. Because I was like, it's funny and I fucking love monsters. Who doesn't love monsters? So those would be my like three, which maybe like is a little bit unconventional, but I think it would work. I think it would work.
One of mine is Gold Diggers in 1933 for some reason, and actually usually works pretty well on people. And I'm like, this, I'm going to take a gamble, or I'm going to gamble this, but I don't know. But for some reason, I just like to pull that one out because I'm like, hey, first off, you know, old movies aren't always prim and proper. So I'll be like, okay, look at this. Like they're being naughty. Uh-oh. And it's so weird. Uh-oh. And like the Shadow Waltz, like I try to gauge the reactions of people. I'm like, look at this. Look at these practical effects. So I don't know. For me, it's like I try to do the wow factor of the production. Like any Busby Berkeley, I'm just like, watch this, please. I want to know what you think. And usually, like I said, usually it seems to work, but I don't know. Definitely a risky one. But I like The Sunrise. I think that's a really good one because I feel like that's, I don't know, it's such a humane movie. Like that's just one of the all time, I feel like, life changing movies for me. Like just watching it, I'm like, this is such a pure movie. And it's so visually stunning as well.
And what I like about your choices, Amelia, like Sunrise and Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, they have effects where I'm like, how do they do that in that time?
Yeah, so
like, good. How do they make Dracula turn into a bat? Like, or like the Wolfman and stuff? I'm like, that must have been so hard. I'm always fascinated by that. And I always watch that movie during Halloween. It's so funny. And it's great.
I also love Lon Chaney Jr. Like, I have like a special, like, he has a special place in my heart. But I just love him, and I feel, you know, it's like living under the shadow of your father and then wanting better roles and then being typecast, and then one day you're on live television and you're drunk and you think it's a rehearsal and you start throwing furniture around, and yeah, that's where his life was.
That's so sad.
I love him. So yeah, I think those, you know, there's a couple other ones, but I don't know if I musicals, maybe like a Gene and Frank musical, maybe I would show. Maybe Anchors Away. Probably not On the Town's a good one. Probably not Take Me Out to the Ball Game. That's like not a good starter film.
On the Town's fun.
You know which one I really like? It's Always Fair Weather. It's so good. I love Michael Kidd. Like, praise Michael Kidd. Like, he was so great. Like, I really like him. And then I think I would just show people like supercut of the Seven Brothers Barn Yes. Date.
Or the On the Town movie.
Girl Hunt Ballet. Or like, all these, yeah. Or not On the Town, the Bandwagon Girl Hunt Ballet. Just like my favorite musical numbers. Like, but I definitely would put, I know again, it's not original, but Singing in the Rain, that movie rocks. Yeah. I freaking yes. love the movie. I just think it's so funny. It doesn't get the credit for being so funny.
Yeah,
like every time Donald O'Connor is like, we've been looking for every in every cake in town. Or he's like, okay, you're a cab. Like, I think it's so funny. It's not even that funny, but the way he says it is so funny. And Jean Hagen, when she, Calvin Coolidge put together.
Yeah, she's so good.
It is so funny. I love that movie. It just cracks me up every time. I love how you can read Jean Hagen as also like not a villain. Like, yes. You know, she's just trying to live and like get her career on track. Like, I love it. It's so funny.
Yeah, I was thinking I would show, I'm trying to think of like, because I had my friends watch, it's so embarrassing to think back, like in high school, I made like Microsoft Paint edits with like names of movies that people should watch. And like the background was like a painting. And I'm like, here's romantic films you should watch. I don't think they watched any of those films that I recommended. But it's, you know, that's all I got to say.
I'm trying to think on movie, like musicals. I swear to God, I have more that I have. This is my blank moment where I'm like, Gold Digger's in 1933. But there are other movies that I normally have people watch and I am blanking and I freaking hate that. I do usually want to pull the best years of our lives because that movie, actually I just like posted about that last night, but that movie means the most to me, like than anything pretty much. Like The Apartment comes close, but The Best Years of Our Lives is one where I'm just like, everybody should watch that movie. But it's so heavy and it's so long, I never know when to pull it on somebody because I'm like, I don't know. This isn't a date movie or it's not like a hangout movie. So just watch it on your own time. But that's one I'm always trying to like push on people, like that in The Apartment. And I don't know. I think Singing in the Rain, I was going to say that's a really good one to have people do as well. That's such a, it's so timeless and fun and another like really easily accessible one for sure.
Yeah. I love the intro ones you said, because I think those are good to get you. And then like tier two, let's bring out The Apartment. This will be the best years of our lives. Because yeah. I think it's so important that people see that, like, I hate the stupid like arguments where people are like, art was never political. It's like, no, like best years of our lives have a lot going on. Like when they're in the soda fountain shop and the guy is like, you know, making fun of Homer for losing his arm, said he did it for nothing, and like, you yeah. know, like the war effort, like those people were around, you know, and mm-hmm. so like those themes, and then, you know, Groucho Marx's alcoholism, Dana Andrews like not being the husband, the ideal husband, and it was mm-hmm. like, it's like the really probably the only film I feel like that really digs deep into like, you know, how it really is, you know. Mm-hmm. I've heard that from a lot of people, and you know, I just like, it was, you know, it was fresh off the war too, and it's just such an impact. And you know, it's so interesting when we talk about classic movies, because they are a mirror to what's going on in our society, and like they show the best of us and the worst of us. And you know, it's, you know, we can learn, I think, so much from the films, but talking about him and like representation and all those things, you know, they're important conversations to have because it's what it reveals about us. So that's a long tangent, but I do think like it's really cool to see, like, you know, especially like the pre-codes, like Babyface, Night Nurse, I'm like, how do they get away with any of this? You know, yes. The ones that maybe, you know, we will never know what they really look like because they've been lost and stuff. And like, I wish we could see those Theda Vara movies, because like, talk about a goth queen, you know, and yes. like, I'd love to see what those movies looked like, you know, and.
Yeah, I think like one of the most fascinating aspects of a movie, in like of the movies in general, and like where you touched on this, I think is the background, the history, the context, the people behind the productions, like what were these people like in their daily lives. Like, I feel like there's so much going on the surface level, and so when you go past that, it's just like, holy shit, there's this whole world of knowledge that you can get from everything. And like you said, it does mirror the history and the culture, and I think that's where it's inadvertently like a lot of us learn our history from the movies, or that's at least maybe like where we start to learn the history, and then it, you know, you delve into it. So there's a, yeah, I feel like it's a really important medium, and obviously a lot of times it doesn't get the credit that it deserves because people think, you know, it's just like, oh, you're watching dumb movies or TV, and it's like, doesn't have to be like that. There's a lot of good that comes from it. So I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's really important. All right. Well, thank you so much, Diana, for coming on here today. We've really enjoyed talking with you on all things classic film. And just wanted, again, to give a shout out to Diana. Her handle on Twitter is TheDameUpstairs. And she regularly tweets and has really good content. So we do highly recommend that you follow her if you're not following her already. And also wanted to give a shout out again to people, the people who joined us for our Zoom stream, the first stream we've ever hosted. We did a very Brady Christmas and we had a lot of fun with that as well. Thank you so much to those friends who joined us. And we also are very interested in doing more streams in the future. So we will keep you all up to date on social media about that. And of course, if you are enjoying the content that we have on this podcast, please do give us a good rating. And if you have any time, please give us a review if you can. It really does help us out and we appreciate everybody who supports us by that and just by listening to us. Thank you so much. And with that being said, we will see you next time. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.